We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM WMIE. If you're listening at 8:30 or 5 p.m., 8:30 a.m. or 5 p.m., if you're listening at 10:30, you are on WWBC 1510 a.m. We're thankful for you choosing to make us part of your day. I want to give a shout-out today to Jits Concrete, 536-5804, 536-5804. You know, I don't know what everybody's schedule is like. I don't know what Jits Concrete schedule is like. But I have had a lot of friends in the construction business. And because people don't necessarily like their homes in transition during the holidays, a lot of times construction personnel are slower at this time of the year than they are any others. And therefore, you might find that it is a great time, especially if you're on a time constraint, to get them to be able to do your project because they've got some free time on their hands, and so they can move you up in the schedule. Not sure that's the case with Jits Concrete. Don't know what their schedule is like, but you might want to give them a call if you're in need of some block or concrete work. 536-5804. Give them a call, and they can get you fixed up and get your sidewalks looking good or your block wall built or get on construction of your the walls of your house or an expansion on your house. Whatever you've got coming up, give them a call, 536-5804. They will do a great job for you. Want to remind you, no midweek service this week at Merritt Assembly of God. There will be a Christmas Eve service Saturday night at 6 p.m. It starts at 6 p.m. It doesn't start at 6:01, doesn't start at 6:05. It's going to start at 6 p.m. We do try to be very good stewards of your time. Come out. This is a beautiful service that we have where we are going to be celebrating communion. We're going to be reading the passages from the Bible regarding the birth of our Savior. We're going to be singing some of the most popular Christmas songs that are germane to the portion of scripture that we read. It's a multimedia event, and we encourage you to come and be a part of that. Also, don't forget to make a church attendance a priority for you on Christmas Sunday. You say, but oh, we've got so many family traditions. Everybody has family traditions, but we also need to remember the real reason for the season is the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. And so don't push him to the back burner. Make him a priority. Seek him, and you will find that you will have a better Christmas season as you pursue your relationship with Jesus. And so I know the message that God has laid upon my heart for this coming Sunday, and it's going to be a great, great service. And so come and be a part of that. We do not have Sunday school or our evening service that night. So we are creating some margin in our schedule to make sure that everybody gets to enjoy time with family that may be in from out of town. But we also want to make Jesus our priority. So that is our schedule this coming week. And we hope to see you there. We're in Isaiah, the 54th chapter today. Isaiah 54, we're going to be wrapping up this chapter today and then moving into chapter 55, which is another phenomenal chapter. Someone has described Isaiah as a microcosm of the entire Bible. There are 66 chapters in Isaiah. There are 66 books in the Bible. And, you know, as you get along into the latter parts of the chapter towards Isaiah 61, you begin to see the greatness and the goodness of God. And so we'll be touching on some of those chapters a little bit later. But I want to take you back to Isaiah 54. Yesterday we were talking about the construction process that God wants to utilize in our life. He wants to teach our children. And as a result of his instruction, our children would have great peace. And in righteousness, we would be established, our kids would be established. And so that's where we were yesterday. Let me remind you of some of those as we begin reading in verse number 11. And then we're going to pick up on some of the other benefits today. Isaiah 54:11, O you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems and lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stones. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals and fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the spoiler to destroy. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. So we talked about, I did the little review earlier. Today I want to describe some of the other benefits that there are for allowing God to work in a constructive manner in your life and in my life. It says, you shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear. Oppression is something that is external. It is pressure that is coming from another source. And he says that you and I, as we allow God to work in our life, that we will be far from oppression and fear will not be part of our life. The Bible describes that in the end times, men's hearts would fail them for fear. Fear is one of the great tactics that the enemy utilizes. He tries to use that emotion as a paralyzing force in your life and my life. But when God is working on you and you know that he does all things well and that projects that he begins, he completes, that he knows the beginning and the end. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. There are no abandoned projects with him. When you know that he does all things well and he's working on you, and you know that he's the omnipotent God, that he's the omniscient God, he knows everything that is going on, he knows every tactic of the enemy, he knows every attack of the enemy, before it ever happens, then you do not have to live under the pressure from what an enemy might have to do or want to do to your life. And you don't have to be afraid of them because that you know that God is with you. There are a lot of people who assume that God is with them. There's some very famous public declarations of people who did not believe in the God of the Bible. And they were just very confident that everything was going to be okay because of their quote-unquote relationship with their quote-unquote God. But I'm here to tell you that God is not like another idol. And I was tremendously encouraged as I was reading from one of our missionary newsletters, and it described how these people had been ministering and a person had made a proclamation of faith in Jesus Christ and said, I have decided that I am no longer going to serve my idols. And that is very, very exciting. There are a lot of people who their religious experience is based out of fear. And I remember years ago when I was a teenager, in fact, it was the night that I was baptized. I was already signed up to be baptized, so it wasn't a fear-based thing. But they showed a movie called A Thief in the Night. And it was a horrifying thought that, you know, one day you could miss the rapture you know, there were a lot of people who gave their hearts to Jesus, but it was based out of fear rather than based out of love for Jesus Christ. Now, if the truth is terrifying to you, then that might be revelatory of what your spiritual condition is. But the scripture makes it clear that when we discuss the second coming of Christ, that it is supposed to be something that we encourage one another with, that we don't hide the truth. It is true Jesus is coming again. It's true that Jesus wants to spend eternity with you. It's also true that you have the decision to make, the choice to decide of whether you're going to accept it or reject it. And the enemy will try and short sell what the costs of rejecting Jesus are, but God wants you to be fully informed of the facts. So if you do not wish to abandon immorality, then, you know, Revelation has this interesting verse. It says, if you're going to sin, if you want to sin, go ahead and continue to sin. You know, if you don't want to spend eternity with Jesus, and you make the decision now that you don't want to spend eternity with him now, then it's not his decision. It's not what he would choose, but he says, go ahead, have it your way. And that might sound kind of curt, but it really is God saying, look, if you do not enjoy spending time with me, you're going to be miserable in heaven. And, you know, God is looking for people who want to be in relationship with him. So fear should not be part of what we are going here. And it says, you will not fear, and you will be far from terror, for it shall not come near you. Now listen to this. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. That verse right there makes it clear that not everything that happens in your life, not every adversary that rises up against you is of his doing. He very clearly says, indeed, or surely, they shall assemble, but not because of me. There are a lot of people who do things not because God has called them to do it, but because they have ulterior motives. Some people just want to deprive the people of God of as much liberty and freedom as they could possibly have. I find it very interesting that people who are Bible-believing, and I would use this word, they stick very close to the Word of God, that they are highly motivated in reaching the world and giving them the opportunity to hear the gospel, allowing the Holy Spirit to activate faith in those people putting their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are highly motivated to do that. I also find that there are people who do not cling as closely to the Word of God. They have a declaration of faith, but not necessarily the lifestyle of faith that some of the founding members of their fellowships would have chosen for them. And they want to come in and they want to corrupt or water down or take over or try and control those issues. You have to be very careful. The Bible says that there would be people who would infiltrate the body of Christ, not because they have the love of God motives, but because they want to come in and have a detrimental effect on the body of Christ. And they would do it as wolves in sheep's clothing. In order for a wolf to have a sheep's clothing, it had to kill a sheep someplace. I just want to point out the obvious there. Wolves don't go into a costume store and say, hey, I need a sheep costume. They go, they find a person of the flock, they take on the appearance, but they have actually killed the sheep in the process. God is not looking for us to being attacking and devouring one another, but you need to realize that God is not responsible for every person that rises up in opposition to you. Okay. That might be very helpful to somebody. Now, verse number 16 says this, behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the spoiler to destroy. God says, yes, I have created these things. If you go back to Genesis chapter 4, you are going to find that there was a man who was born, and his gift, his contribution to society, was that he became a worker of metals. He became someone who fabricated works of bronze and iron. And it says in verse number 22 of Genesis chapter 4, "And as for Zillah, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron." His brother's name is in verse number 21. His name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the harp and flute. So it was a very influential family. One of them was very musical, and the other one was an instructor of craftsmen. God says that whenever you see something that is fabricated out of metal, you need to realize that that original gift was something that came from God. But he says in this passage that the people who are utilizing the gift that he created to attack the people of God, that was not his intent. That was not his desire. And so there is a corruption, there is a counterfeiting of the intent with which God had created that. There were a lot of constructive purposes for operating or developing the ability to work with metals and ore and fabricate. And, you know, I've watched some documentaries on how it was done. It's extremely fascinating. I watched them build a Viking sword using the technologies or the skills, the techniques that they would have used at the time that the Vikings were in existence. And what they concluded was that they had basically learned those skills and adapted them to suit their own purposes, probably from people in the Persian region, Iran and Iraq and the Middle East and that area. Now, verse number 17 is where we have been going with this. And it says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." Now, if you have been in church many times at all, you have probably at some point in time heard this verse quoted. I want to tell you it is a absolute promise from God. It is a something that he offers as a guarantee. He goes on and he describes these things that I'm getting ready to tell you as part of the heritage or inheritance. It's something that God has determined should be a reality in his children's life. And one of those is, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." Now, he says that he was the one who created the ability within man to forge weapons, but now he is saying, look, when you are allowing me to work in the midst of the storm, when you are allowing me to build you the sufficient foundation for your life and edify or construct the walls in your life, and when I do it, I'm going to use beauty, not just utilitarian purposes. I'm a function guy personally. I focus on the function. And when I have got it to the design that it is going to be functional, then there are people in our church and I say, okay, we have the function. Now make it look as good as you can make it look. And so I recognize the limitations that I have in myself. I'm not necessarily the person that is going to be the best interior decorator. So I say, okay, have your way, go at it. And as these walls are constructed, he uses precious stones. We've talked about the pinnacles being erected, and the gates that he wants to install are made out of crystal, and that what takes place inside is that there is teaching that is going on. There is discipling that is going on. There is righteousness that is being established, and the peace of God is coming, and the perfect love of God is casting out fear. There is no torment. There is no fear. There is no terror. And even though people gather in opposition, even though they have weapons, God gives us this promise And that is when you are, when God is being allowed by us, we are granting him permission to work as he deems fit in our lives, that no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. I am not an intimidating physical appearance. I'm not muscle bound. I'm not tall. I'm not an excessively large individual. There's not really anything that is intimidating about me. But when it comes time to utilize the authority that God has for me, I have the gift of stubborn. I do not have the gift of stubborn against the things of God. I have the gift of stubborn for the things of God. And I'm not afraid to say, this shall not have any success against us, because we are walking, we are doing, we are listening for the voice of God, and we are saying, God, what is the way that you want us to walk? And we know that as we are walking in obedience to God, that the enemy is going to be rendered powerless. So the weapon of fear is going to be rendered powerless. I'm thankful through the years for God's faithful provision. But even before that faithful provision came in, I had already declared that poverty was not going to have a lingering effect at Merit Assembly of God. There were people who said, oh, there's no money here. You're not going to be able to accomplish anything at Merit Assembly of God. And we said, you know what? That's okay if the men, the women that are here don't have any money. God is our provider. And so every lie, every attack of the enemy, everything that was said against the purpose of the church that I pastor, I said, you know what? We are going to counter that weapon with the sword of the Spirit, and we are going to believe the word of God. So don't let temptation have any effect on your life. Counter it with the word of God. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You are not helpless. You are not powerless. You have been equipped by God. The armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, study it, implement it, and realize that when God has called you, equipped you, and ordered your steps, that you are going to go forth in victory. He says, every tongue which rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. One of my favorite humorous statements, and it was made by the king of Israel, and I believe it was made against the king of Judah, and that was this, that the person who puts his armor on should not boast as the one who just took his armor off. And you know, my take on that verse is, if I have just come back successfully from a battle and you've never been in a battle, don't boast and try and intimidate me. I just got through with the war. There are people who will utilize their tongue. And in fact, in this age of social media, there are people who are emboldened because they feel that they are relatively anonymous, even though they should know better by now that whatever you put on the internet or social media, somebody out there is going to find it, and somebody out there is going to post it and remember it, and you're not going to be anonymous. How many people do you have to see their lives altered in a negative way because of something they posted on the internet? And so he says that those people who rise up against in judgment, that they're going to be condemned, they're going to be humiliated, they're going to be cut off, their judgment is going to come against them. They rose against the people of God in judgment, and that's not good. I will tell you this, we are the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. If you ever want to see my demeanor change, you don't have to attack me. I don't necessarily like it when people attack me. It changes my demeanor, but it doesn't necessarily change my actions. But I have been given authority. I am the covering for my wife. I am the covering for my daughters. And as long as I have that responsibility, I want you to understand that anybody who attacks them finds that they have positioned themselves against me, and I'm pretty well equipped to come to their defense, not in a violent sort of manner, but in an authoritative manner. And if I would do that as a husband and a father, how much more do you think that God would come to your defense as the child of the living God? And he says, these things are your inheritance. You do not have to be intimidated by the threats of the enemy. You do not have to be intimidated when the enemy gathers every weapon in his arsenal. The greatest weapon that he has is death, and Jesus has already conquered death, hell, and the grave, and he holds the keys. And so, yes, it's appointed unto us all once to die, and then comes the judgment. But when you know that Jesus has already imparted his righteousness to you, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, even that is not a fearful thing. I've heard just a couple of amazing testimonies of faith of people who were there ready to cross the threshold into eternity. And they were, one of them was really quite, humorous. It was a dear saint in her 90s. And she was saying, "Hey, make sure you put, some slippers on my feet." And they said, "Well, what about these?" And they were practically brand new and they had non-skid soles. And she said, "Oh, that would be perfect because those streets of gold may be a little slippery when I get there." And you know, I want you to know that those slippers are staying in the casket. You don't have to worry about slipping and falling in heaven. But it's just so refreshing that you can look forward to whatever God has in store for you and say, "You know what? If I'm getting ready to cross into eternity, it's going to be a great experience." This is your inheritance. It's your heritage as a child of God. Your righteousness is because of him. And so I just want to encourage you today, no matter what you're going through, I realize that the holidays can be a difficult season for many people because of deaths, because they feel isolated and all alone. But I want to speak a word to you today, and that is, let faith arise in your heart. Grab the sword of the Spirit. Put on the helmet of salvation. Equip yourself with the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the shoes that are the preparation of the gospel of peace. Put on the belt of truth. Put on the garment of praise and say, "You know what? I am equipped by God for the purposes of God. I've been placed by God for such a time as this, and I am not going to shrink back in fear, but I am going to go forth in obedient faith. And we are going to see souls saved. We are going to see miracles done. We are going to see lives transformed for the glory of God." You are a gift to this community this Christmas. Go forth in faith. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."